Times are changing drastically every day as we face the worldwide impact of COVID-19. More than ever, we need to be reminded to lift our eyes to the Lord, who alone remains constant. Join now Pastor Silas Colner from Calvary Chapel Cape Cod for this Thursday night live broadcast. We pray you are encouraged tonight by the unchanging truths found in God's Word. If you have a question or a prayer request, you can call in at 508-901-9673. Again, that's 508-901-9673. Now let's join Pastor Silas Colner.
Hey, once again, here I am, Pastor Silas, making rookie mistakes. But we are, you know, rookies. And we are here, and we're here to minister to you. And to do that, we want to be engaged in God's word. We want to be praying for you and answering any questions you may have about the Bible. And we can be reached at 508-901-9673. That's 508-901-9673. You can call in at any time. If you're not comfortable calling in, you can make a text message to that number, and we will get your message and be able to answer your questions. If I answer the phone and put you on hold, just wait a minute. That means we're just waiting for a good moment and to a break in thought so that we can get to your phone call. So we've been going through the Psalms on Thursday nights here on Renew FM, and tonight we're doing Psalm 19. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to join us, or on your tablet or on your device, whatever it may be that you use to read God's Word, hopefully you're reading it daily. We are in Psalm 19, you know, pretty close to the center of the Bible, wouldn't you say, Seth?
I would. Open up to the middle, you're there.
Open up to the middle, and you are there. So we are Psalm 19. Pastor Forrest, would you mind opening up the tonight in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we're glad that you provide the word, as we always recognize you are the author. And everything that's stated here is to sustain us, and to actually it's the manufacturer's guide to who you produce, and that's every one of us. So we look to you for guidance and for instruction, and we look in your word to gain it. And we appreciate the power of your spirit to enlighten us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So once again, if you want to call for a prayer request or a Bible question, you can call us at 508-901-9673, or you can give us a phone call or text, whichever you prefer. Pastor Seth.
Yes.
You got any background information for Psalm 19 for us tonight?
Maybe a little bit. This is a psalm that, once again, is written by David. It says it's to the chief musician. Maybe this was one of the worship psalms and songs that they sang in the day. And this psalm is pretty amazing, really. This psalm speaks a lot about the starry sky, the beautiful sky up there, and how God is made manifest, made known through the heavens. But that it takes God's word for there to be a specific revelation. So there's a general revelation of who God is, the idea that God exists through the heavens, the stars, the skies. But then a specific revelation of who Jesus is and that God loves us comes through his word alone. And we'll see, it's almost really like a mini-me version of Psalm 119, the last part of this psalm, when it speaks about the word of God.
Did you say mini-me?
I did.
You did say mini-me.
I did say that, yes.
If you don't know, Psalm 119 is like the longest chapter in the Bible, and it is entirely about the Word of God. So you want to ever get a whole bunch of Scripture that is encouraging, promoting, that will saturate you in the importance of being God's Word, sit down and work through Psalm 119. And what's kind of nice, if you just drop the one off of 119, you get Psalm 19. And I guess that's maybe how we even get another version of mini-me. There we go.
Mini-me.
I just made that up. I don't think I've ever read that ever before. And one of the things that I find fascinating about this psalm is just, we call it prinking around here, praying and thinking, or thinking in the presence of God, prinking through this psalm. Is, you know, we're going to see this psalm, how it opens up with just how creation, and there's a glory to creation, and the heavens, and the sun, and it, I think it points to Jesus. And then it's like there's this parallel to then the Word of God and how much power and influence, just like the sun has and the heavens have, the power and influence of the Word of God have, and they are all glorifying one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. So I'm pretty excited about Psalm 19 tonight. I know Seth is. How about you, Pastor Forrest?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we're in lockdown and a lot of people, are having troubles here in this situation, in the scripture in the New Testament, Philippians 4:8 says that we should, whatever things are true or things are noble or things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, of good report, and if there's any virtue, it goes on to say, think on these things. To get past your situation, you know. This psalm is pointing us to look to the heavens and start thinking on the majesty and the grandeur of God.
Amen to that. Amen to that. C.S. Lewis wrote this: I take this to be the greatest poem in the Psalter and one of the greatest lyrics in all the world.
So, wow. A Psalter? Like
a Psalter. Yeah. Psalter and pepper?
Yeah.
Well, once again, if you want to call it or text at any time, you can call 901-9673. Why don't you read, what do you think, Seth, verses 1 through
6?
6? Sure.
Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of the heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Amen.
So it begins, to the chief musician, the Psalm of David. So we see, once again, this is a Psalm of David. He wrote a vast number of psalms. Probably, I think he's wrote more than anybody else in the Book of Psalms, if I remember correctly. His opening verse of this song is, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God. What is the glory of God? What would you say the glory of God is? So if the heavens declare this glory of God, I think it's probably important. What is the glory of God?
Well, it's evident in his, when it says the expanse of heaven, or, you know, is declaring the work. So his glory is a declaration. It's like if you've ever been to a museum or to an art gallery, and you see a fantastic art piece, and you want to know who the artist is, you're like, wow, that's incredible. That's showing the glory of that person's work. So, yes, the heavens are, and especially at night when you see the expanse of. You ever been out on the ocean where you, I was out, I'm out several times, but you can actually, I was laying on the flight deck and I could see out of either edge of my sight, my peripheral vision, all the way across with no interruption, no light pollution, and there were an incredibly larger amount of stars than you can imagine. And I was flabbergasted, and that would be the glory of God.
Yes, I had a similar experience, Forrest, and I'm sure Seth has had one as well. I spent like 7 days out to sea once on a relatively small boat, 50-foot sailboat, and there were those nights where it was just a 360 horizon, and from the horizon all around, it was like being in a snow globe of stars, and the Milky Way burst through in its magnificence. And even on the best night on Cape Cod, in Cape Cod, I think we have some of the best stargazing, in Massachusetts, because there's low light pollution out there in the National Seashore, and we've caught some glorious Sunday night stargazing.
I can't wait to get back to that.
But still, I would agree, nothing compares to being out there in just pure darkness with nothing but the light to shine through. So there's, I like how you said that for us there. We can experience art that moves us to recognize that there is a value, a worth, a weight, a substance to the skill of the person that's behind it.
Yes.
And we look at the stars And as you said, as I said, we look at the firmament, and it's the handiwork, it's the artistry of God, and it declares His immense weight, value, worth, significance, even I would say His holiness. I don't know. What do you think, Seth?
I'm just thinking of, in reference to His art, it made me think of a quote from Skip Heitzig. He said, "If the art hanging in the skies is glorious, how much more glorious is the artist?"
All right. And that's what the psalm is trying to bring out.
Yeah.
Right.
Definitely.
Exactly. And, you know, you guys have your ocean starry stories, but, you know, when I hear this, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. It reminds me of days that we've been out surfing, Silas, for sunrise, and we get out on the water and just watch that sunrise come up. The sun just starts to just touch the waterline, and all of a sudden, all those Jesus beams, as we call them, those rays of the sun are just shooting across the sky, filtering through the clouds. We're just amazed at the handiwork of God when we see that.
Yeah, if you just called, you know, I put you on hold because we're in mid-thought. If you stick around, if you want to call back, we'll get you. Please call back, and we'll take your prayer request or question. Same thing, if you want to text us, or if you maybe want to text us. Oh, here we go. They're back. Good evening. How can we pray for you, or do you have a question for us?
I have a question. Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, pastors. I have a question. And my question pertains to the Passover. And since it's a given that God is all-knowing, He would know who dwells in which house. So I'm wondering why it was necessary for the Israelites to physically smear blood on the doorposts, since God would know in which house they lived.
All right, so you're referring to in Exodus, when they were in Egypt. And and then there was the death angel that was going to pass over it, but the Israelites were required to sacrifice and put the blood on the doorpost, and then the death angel would see the blood and then pass over that residence, correct?
Yes.
And you're wondering if God's all knowing, then why would He need to have a marking on the door, since He already know who was and who wasn't? Is that correct? Am I
exactly
saying that correctly? Okay. Forrest, you want to take a stab at that?
Oh, sure. I firmly believe that it demonstrates the allegiance that household has for the Lord. If you can think of the situation, they did not, a lot of things were occurring, and it was a pretty scary time, especially with the reports that were getting back from what was going on in Pharaoh's headquarters. So when it came time to make a decision, this was it. And whether your allegiance was with the Lord or not. Sure, God knows. And just because He's all-knowing doesn't mean you don't have the free choice to make that decision. So when a person actually did the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, he was declaring his allegiance and in hopes of the word was true and that they would be delivered.
Seth, you got anything you'd like to add?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
We may add
Thank
a little
you.
Bit more.
It just makes me think of family, right? You know, I've got children my kids who live in my home, and they're covered under the umbrella of my faith, but there'll come a day when they're going to have to make a choice. So I agree with what Forrest is saying, that God gives us a choice, and we all have to make a choice on whether or not we're going to accept the Lord Jesus and be covered by His blood and saved by Him. It's an individual choice. Just because we're born into something, nationality-wise or heritage-wise, it doesn't mean that we're given, that we're choosing Jesus. We have to choose Him ourselves.
That's right.
So what I think I hear you kind of both saying is that this was an opportunity for people to actually exercise faith. God gave some direction. Would you follow this direction? Would you trust me that if you humbly put a sacrifice out there, demonstrate that you've shown a sacrifice, and not just do it privately, but even publicly. It was on your front doorpost. So there was a proclamation. There was a testimony to the people that I am trusting God's word to be, that he will take a substitutionary sacrifice in my place and the death angel will pass over. And that is a clear picture, a clear illustration, which I think is the most important part, is that God will take these opportunities to give us pictures, to give us illustrations, to point us towards how God will accept a substitutionary sacrifice so that we can be forgiven of sins and have the death angel pass over us. Mm-hmm. And that was accomplished by the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And you might call him the Passover Lamb of God, Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That is a great question. I appreciate that so much. Thank you, sir. What's your name?
Wayne.
Wayne. Thank you, Wayne. You be blessed.
You.
Is there any way we can pray for you?
Yes, you could pray for our church that our need for a church musician would be met.
Church musician?
Position.
Yes.
Yes. Seth, you want to pray? No. Yep, go ahead, pray.
Yeah, Lord Jesus, we do lift this situation up to you, Lord. And Lord, we're thankful that you appoint princes, kings, and musicians and positions, Lord. It's all in your hands, Lord. I pray that that the church would be ordained and positioned by you. And may we also be positioned looking towards you, Lord God. I pray for this church that they would lift you up, Lord Jesus, seek you out, desire you above all things, finding that you are sweeter than anything on the planet. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Wayne, thank you for calling tonight. God
thank
bless you.
You,
and the Lord be
thank
with you.
You well.
Good night.
And you as well. Good night.
What a great question. You know?
Yeah, really.
Because, you know, a lot of times it is easy to get confused. If God knows everything, why do these certain things happen? And the wonderful thing about our Lord is he's a teaching God. You know, and a lot of times, a lot of these things we're asked to do is because he's trying to teach us a lesson. He's trying to show us a truth about himself that he already knows, obviously, but we're the ones that have to pick up on some knowledge.
It'd be easier for him to just do it without us.
Right.
But to stop, slow down, take the time to explain it, I might add, in my case, over and over, until it finally dawns on my marble head. So I praise God for that, for sure.
Amen, amen. So verse 2 goes on to say, day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Verse 3 then goes on, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. So we have the heavens declaring the glory of God. The firmament is showing his handiwork. There's amazing artistry and power and might that's being declared, and weight and value and worth of the designer. And now he goes on to say, it's interesting. It's like this declaring of glory is uttered in speech, and night reveals knowledge. In other words, there's this like seems to be like there's almost like a flow of information coming from creation towards us. Any thoughts on that, Pastor Seth?
Yeah, this day unto day pours out speech. In the Hebrew, it speaks of there being a pouring out, a gushing forth, a springing forth and bubbling up. There's like this silent praise of the Lord Jesus being sung from the sky, from the firmament. There's communication going on here, like there's this celestial discourse coming from the solar system, and there are no words or dialect being used. It's really amazing how you see that God is revealing himself as day unto day pours out speech.
If you are just joining us, we are in Psalm 19. We're making our way through. We are pretty slow at this, so who knows if we'll make it through the whole thing, but we're just going to trudge along, if you will, or dance along is probably a better way of putting it, rather than trudge. It's kind of a poor choice of words, but we're going to dance through with joy through Psalm 19. And if you have a question about the Bible or a prayer request, you can text or call us at 508-901-9673.
I really enjoy how steadfast the Lord is in verse 2, where he says, day after day pours forth speech, night after night reveals knowledge. And it's a declaration, again, a continuation of his glory being demonstrated. The sun comes up every day with, you know, it's very reliable. And I'm glad how he expresses that. But when he gets down to verse 3, there is no speech. And there are no, and the Amplified says, there are nor are there spoken words from the stars, but their voice is not heard, yet their voice is quite evident and has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Again, back to the artist, you know, it's making a statement without words. And it reminds me of Paul's instructions about tongues. You can pray, you can be overwhelmed and maybe desperate praying to God, and you run out of words.
Yeah.
He talks about your prayer language and your tongue. Just, there's nothing more to say other than to pray, God, you know. And I think this is similar to what he's declaring here, only in revealing God's glory.
Yeah, I think we're getting that continued, like, just this, like, I love that for us, how you said that constant declaration, that never-ceasing declaration of praise, of the glory of God. And then on top of that, there's this point where it's inescapable. It's everywhere, even though it's silent, it's so loud and with beauty that you can get to the point. I like how they said that. There's certain beauties that are so wonderful that we have a lack of words to express how wonderful it is.
Right?
Yeah. And so, wow.
I can share with you, we're thinking about the COVID. Well, you remember back when the AIDS crisis came? Well, my daughter was young and she had a sore throat. And it was about midnight. And I said, oh, you can't sleep. You're going to need ice cream for that throat. And that's when the store was opened all night. I figured I'd go get some ice cream, you know. Any excuse is a good one. So I went there, and there was a gentleman over by the freezer aisle. He was passed out on the floor, 2 units of blood around his head. And me being ex-paramedic Coast Guard guy, I'm like, you know, you shake, rattle, roll, check for breathing. The guy was breathing, and he was starting to come to. And he started to sit up, and I realized he was totally inebriated. I told him, you know, you lay down, you're going to pass out. You got a lot of blood loss. And I went and got the cashier, and the ambulance came, and the guy admitted he had full-blown AIDS. And that was when we didn't know anything about AIDS.
Right, right.
And when we were talking in the scripture here about there's no speech, there are no spoken words, I tell you, when I walked outside, I had no idea, because I handled the guy
right.
with no gloves, and, you know, we never used to back in the 70s, and so now here we are. And the dimension of the life was so different at that point.
Oh, wow.
Colors were brighter. I mean, the depth, 3D, you know, the depth of things. And I had no idea whether I was going to be the next victim.
It right.
was very strange.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you became aware of
the life,
mortality, and the mortality,
right.
all of a sudden it amplified
it
the beauty.
Everything was amplified.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, when you think about that, there's a experience of even just being born again, isn't it? There's an amplification that happens then as well.
Your
you know,
spirit comes alive.
Your spirit comes alive, and you see so many more things. And you know, one of the things I was just thinking about how, you know, when we go back to the creation account, and God speaks all of the sun and the moon and the firmament and everything into existence, in God's creation, there's this crescendo at the pinnacle of creation, and the greatest beauty of the glory of creation by the Creator, God in heaven. What is at that pinnacle?
It's you and I.
You and I.
Yeah.
Humanity. And man, when you look at humanity, there's still so much beauty there, but you can also see so much brokenness.
Well, after
sin entered into the whole thing. And so there's a part that makes me kind of like, makes me say, oh, wow. Can you imagine when Jesus makes a new heaven and a new earth and we have new bodies, that we are going to have a beauty that has the full glory of God to it. And so that people would look upon us, like I look at Seth right now, and I don't get speechless.
I think his wife does.
No, his wife might, but maybe for different reasons. But you know, I don't get speechless, and yet I can look at the stars and get speechless. And yet here's humanity, the most beautiful thing of all creation, because we're created in the image of God.
Even the angels question. You know, they look and they're like, wow,
really? These guys?
Yeah.
But just to think of what great hope it will be when all of this is done away with and everything is made brand new.
And our value is shown and demonstrated through Christ's sacrifice on the cross.
Oh, amen to that. Amen to that. So moving on, what does it say? Seth, where do we leave off? You want to kick us off into the next section?
Yeah, we've got 4.5 or so, but I'll read from 4. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. You know, here I find some of the illustrations and the parallels with how the universe is created, and I'm no astronomer, but you know, when I think of the line was put into, has gone out through all the earth, you know, there's that glory of God in creation, but then there's also when you kind of look at a picture of the galaxy and you can see the different planets and the orbits that they have. You know, you usually see these graphs that have a line, or these illustrations with a line, and you have all these planets in the galaxy just orchestrated perfectly, revolving around the sun and one another, and it's amazing. It says that God here made a home for the sun, and then there's like a simile going on here. He says that home for the sun, and that sun is like a bridegroom. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and I don't know. When I read this, like, there's something inside of my heart that just starts to tingle and to rejoice and to have great joy, and I think it's because there's a picture. This is pointing towards that great bridegroom, Jesus. He's the Son of Man, the Son of God, and he comes forth bursting out of his chamber. And there's that picture of the morning sun. Whenever I see that morning sun, I think of Jesus bursting forth like the beautiful bridegroom coming someday to take us home.
If I remember correctly, even our particular universe around our particular sun is traveling also in the galaxy, in the Milky Way, at like millions of miles an hour. And
I think it's 413,000 miles per hour.
Oh, is that right?
I have my notes
he's
from 2 years ago.
I'm going
That's
off
pretty
of memory
good for
from
us.
Eighth grade science
That's good.
Class. So, I mean, to think of that, and we're only not even half discovering of what God's created, you know?
Yeah.
And I often think that when I do get to heaven, every moment is a new revelation.
Wow.
You think we're discovering things in our world. We're all so modern. We have modern things. We discovered modern, you know, everything is modern. But you know what? In heaven, every moment will have an exquisite new revelation that God created just for you.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Just like circuits just went, Pastor Forrest, in my brain. What is going on? Heaven's going to be amazing. You know, I just when you said that, I remember seeing an illustration of our sun and moving through the solar system, through our universe and our galaxy, and it actually looks like a shock absorber and a spring, kind of the picture of a trail. It kind of leads. It's kind of interesting. Hmm. That's a total side note, but. You know, and kind of I see this, you know, one of the things that's amazing about scriptures, there's just so many things to see. And when we start to see now, I think in Psalm 19, is there's this beautiful canvas of the stars and the firmaments and the heavens that God's created. And think about our blue skies and our night skies and the clouds, and everything's gorgeous. But then there's like, he's like, when you're looking up and you're looking at, and this is declaring God's glory, isn't there something that you can't miss? And that's our sun, S-U-N, you know, and that sun, you know, is, I think, in this picture of a bridegroom bursting forth. Jesus even said in like John 9, he says, while the day is with you, as in when he was there.
Right.
You know, when the sun was present, the S-O-N was present. In other words, when this Jesus comes onto the scene like a sunrise, and we do catch our sunrises surfing, right? And we stop. We pull out our cameras. You know,
they're
different, but they're gorgeous. And we're all waiting for that sun to burst forth from under the horizon. And it is just, it puts us in awe. So that just is this amazing thing. And then it comes across the sky and it comes across like a bridegroom. It's a beautiful thing. It's a glorious thing. And the sun, this is something that has tangible effects here on Earth. I mean, it affects everything. you'd be hard-pressed to say there isn't anything that we don't experience sensory that doesn't somehow have to do with the sun in some way, shape, or form.
I think you're right.
Our energy, our food, our water, everything's affected by the sun.
Yeah.
And it makes one of my favorite things is the sun makes air heat. Heat makes air currents. Air currents make waves. Waves are for surfing. You know,
how do we get back to surfing again?
One of my favorite things. And so it's just that we see the sun and then I look at the lesser light and which is the moon, which
right.
is a glorious thing, but the moon's in the dark and the moon just what reflects light. And I want to be like that as a human being. I want to be a reflector of the light of God
mm-hmm.
made in his image. Oh, I am not him made in his image. And so I start to see some beauty of God's design in the whole thing in all of this. And then it's going to become even more apparent, I think, as we move on, because I think we're switching gears, right?
We are.
As far as verse 7 goes, we're switching now from the sun, the S-U-N, is kind of being this focus of what has beauty, declares glory, has impact and influence on our lives. It affects our daily lives in a powerful way. And just like the sun is we would be dead without it.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God is now going to come in, and they're somewhat paralleled. And just how the sun influences physically, the word of God should influence our lives spiritually.
Oh, definitely.
Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Forrest, you got something to run with on that?
Well, it's describing how flawless God's written word is and how it ministers to our soul. So as we are, you know, discovering the glory of God based on the others, some of us might think, well, gee, I've been locked up in my house for a couple of months and I don't feel much like, you know, God's glory at the moment. But so we're encouraged to get into the word of God if you're not getting out. And we're encouraged to see how our lives can be mended, our souls can be directed, and because this is the manufacturer's handbook of the human body and the human spirit. So the precepts or the law of the Lord, it's right, and it overjoys our heart. They are absolutes, you know. Too often our society is just kind of running on relativism,
yeah.
where that line keeps sliding and sliding and sliding, and then pretty soon you don't know what's up and what's down. Whereas the law of the Lord, it's flawless, and it will restore your soul.
If you're listening, we are going through Psalm 19. I'm Pastor Silas, and we got Pastor Forrest and Pastor Seth, and we are from Calvary Chapel of Cape Cod down in Sandwich and Yarmouth, Massachusetts. And if you have a question about the Bible or a prayer request, you can give us a call or text us at 508-901-9673. I'll say that again for you, 508-901-9673. You know, I have some, you know, notes that I jotted down here, but just as we're talking, and I didn't even have the notes. I lost my train of thought.
Sorry.
Yeah. If you have a prayer request, you can also call that. Questions, prayer request, phone call, text. You got one. Oh, Seth's got a prayer request. Smoke signals are coming through.
Yeah.
what's the prayer request there, Seth?
I have somebody texted it a question to put out there, not necessarily for us to answer, but we can try. It says, can you tell me, what do we see every day that God cannot see?
Kind of a riddle?
It is a bit of a riddle, yes. I had to ask the answer. I had to guess, ask the answer, though. So what do we see every day that God cannot see? And the answer, the caller says, is his equal. God does not see his equal, because there is no
that
equal
is
to
riddle.
God.
Sunday school riddle, I mean.
Yeah, Sunday school riddle.
it's a good riddle. And the caller has a prayer request and asks us to pray for somebody who is suffering from alcoholism and addiction.
Oh, yeah.
So, why don't you pray there, Seth?
Yeah, Lord, I just pray for my my brother and for this dear sister, for Donna, Lord. I pray for her to realize that what she's looking for in the bottom of a bottle can never be found, Lord, not where she's looking. I pray that she would find her joy, her sustenance, in you, Lord. May her salvation be found in you. May she see you for who you are, Lord God. Will you reveal yourself to her through creation, yes, through your word, through your gospel, through the love of other Christians, and deliver her from this difficult path that she's chosen, taken, or has been heaped upon her through sin. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, we're talking here now, we're switching and we're starting to see the law of the Lord and the testimony of the Lord. And these are all synonyms for the Word of God. And what the Word of God has the ability to do is really there's no other book that can shine the light of Jesus and shine and show the love of God towards humanity. I mean, the Word of God has the glory of the character and the nature and the love and the truth and the holiness of God revealed to us.
And it's, might add, a living Word.
Yes.
Where it is divine and it can interrupt your life if you approach it with humility and read the Word for what it says.
And that's what, I was thinking about the sun, and it's springtime right now. And one of the things that I love and hate about spring is there's all this pollen and tree stuff going on. But what is making the difference? Like, why are these bulbs all of a sudden bursting out of the ground? And pretty soon they're going to bear flowers. And these trees are making buds that are going to become fruit. It's because the sun shined on those, yeah, you know? Yeah. And the Word of God, as it shines on the soul of a person, it has the ability, like you said, it's living and powerful, and it has this ability to show us who we are, and it also has the ability to show us who we can become in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we can actually be, rather than just a seed in the dirt, the Word of God has the power by the Spirit of God to turn a seed which is dead into life.
That's right.
And to come forth and actually convert. Seeds don't stay looking like seeds. They become flowers. They become trees. They become plants. You know, it's amazing.
Completely transformed.
Right. And they get to experience their true identity once the sunshine comes in and the water comes in. And once we have Jesus come in, revealed by the Spirit of God, there's this amazing conversion that can happen in our lives where we are transformed. Our soul is transformed. And it does this amazing thing. It makes wise the simple. What's that? What do you think that is? How does the Word make wise the simple?
Well, I must be the poster child for simple, so.
Are we all? If we're
that explains it. Yeah, right there.
I don't know if there's anything more wise than simply walking with the Lord Himself, because it's really not my wisdom. As I continue to walk with Jesus, I have no idea which way to go, right? I don't know what's the best way if it's not clear and concise. But walking with the Lord, it looks like I'm wise. I mean, it really does. It looks like there's wisdom. Oh, He knows where He's going. He knows what He's doing. Like, oh, well, if you really knew, I'm just following Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's where the wisdom comes from. It doesn't come from anywhere. I mean, it's like, there's not like this magical switch that happens and all of a sudden, because you're a believer now, you are wise. Now, that said, the Lord and the Holy Spirit alive inside of you, it's His wisdom that can guide and lead us.
Yeah, the things you haven't seen prior to that, the Lord reveals.
Yeah, I like how it says it will be sure, right? The testimony of the Lord, sure. That's something that is stable, that is right, that you can bank your life on. And if you just would humbly trust the Word of God, mm-hmm, as it reveals the Jesus Christ in your life and you walk with Him, people can look at your life and say, wow, why is there such stability in your life? Why are you able to make like rational decisions that make sense and the end result is there's some thriving that happens in your life rather than disintegration or breakdown of marriages and families and losing, you know, just, you know, so many, you're getting addicted to whatever it may be. And all of a sudden we just live a simple, humble life before the Lord. And we find that our path is sure and stable. And then we are in a place where we can actually make some pretty good decisions. What a gift.
Yeah, it is a gift.
So in some of these verses that we're going through here, 7 through 10 especially, they really give us a layout of there's a result. There's something that actually happens and transpires. When we read the Word, there's something positive, something great that happens. And I just want to say to any listeners that are that maybe haven't read the Bible all that much, maybe you go to church, you listen to sermons, you read a few verses here and there that sound nice and make sense, or maybe you've never really read the Bible and you're wondering, what's the Bible all about? I want to encourage you to read the Word of God, because there's so many delightful, wonderful things that happen. As you read the Word of God, as Pastor Forrest said, it's living, it's breathing, it's like water washing through your soul. Even if you can't remember, if you're like me, and you forget a lot of what you read, that's me. Mm-hmm. The thing that happens regardless is the water of the Word of God from the Bible washes your soul clean. And then you can live a life that is better than you ever imagined. But that said, the Word of God. Go ahead, Forrest.
Verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right. And what you're demonstrating is, the next part of that verse is bringing joy to the heart. And who doesn't want that, right? And the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So a lot of us think, the rules and regulations and the law, it's going to break me and it's going to tell me I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, actually, the precepts of the Lord are right. And it's not the Lord taking you down. A lot of what we experience in the law of the Lord, like, say, the Ten Commandments, is to protect our souls or protect our lives, to protect our marriage and our communities. And then past that, there are precepts that bring joy and delight to your heart.
Hmm. Yeah, when I look at that, I said, like you said, the statutes of the Lord are right. They are like a ruler or a level. You know, those are the things that we see that, like, oh, that is, that's what it's supposed to be.
That's true.
that's right. That's as opposed to crooked or bent or broken.
Right.
And, like I said, what I always find is the statutes of the Lord are right. And I also know that Jesus is right. Mm. He's pure. He's holy. Mm. And so the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, gives us revelation of the perfect person, Jesus Christ, who is, God in the flesh. And when you start to see that, there's a fixing of the heart, a rejoicing of the heart, of what once was broken, at what once was crooked, is now being squared. It's being leveled in our lives as you walk with the Lord and have Him be the love of your life and the leader of your life, and you trust Him rather than trust yourself. And so then what happens is, man, you can experience a joy even though things aren't necessarily maybe going well, even in a difficult day like today. And when you struggle with it, I got to remember the Lord is pure. Mm. There's no darkness in Him, and that's where He wants to lead us. And because there's no darkness in Him, He fills us with light, and that enlightening the eyes. I see a beauty in that. You think of someone who's, I've watched, recently, I've watched their eyes go from, ooh, that you can see darkness there. And just with some love and some care and making things right and correct, you could see the countenance change. You could see their eyes were enlightened as they experienced some love. Oh, got a text here. Just asking for prayers for our area, Cape Cod, that our visitors will be drawn to the Son, Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we do. We just pray. That's our desire for Cape Cod and for New England and for our nation and for our world. But, where we are, our little bean patch, we might call it, this peninsula, is we do. We have a heart for the people of Cape Cod, and we want to see the people of Cape Cod to be drawn to the Son, to the S-O-N. Just like people are drawn to the Son, S-U-N, here on Cape Cod, we want people to be drawn to the S-O-N, Jesus Christ. And we do pray for salvation. We pray for repentance. We pray for revival. And I just thank you for reminding us to pray for that. We appreciate that. And God bless you, whoever sent that prayer request in. Where are we at? Verse 9, Seth?
I believe so.
You want to?
Sure.
Kick it off?
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. This is the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And I think of fear, and doesn't it just conjures up so many emotions when we all have our own history, background, and just the environments we've been in. And a lot of us have lived in a lot of fear and currently are. I mean, look at today's crisis with the COVID thing going on. I mean, there's a lot of us, and me included, there are things that I fear. But here it says, it's a different kind of fear, right? It says, the fear of the Lord is clean. Fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. It's that fear of the Lord that that doesn't have the connotations that fear in the world does. Where there's a fear of being destroyed, a fear of being harmed and judged wrongfully or dealt with incorrectly. And it says, fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
It kind of causes you to focus on really our position in this fallen world compared to God's holiness. And I think that's the fear that the word reveals, to cause you to look to God for mercy and to look, and hopefully it draws you to a place where you're humbled before the Lord to ask for his help. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it can be clean. Your awe toward the glory of God, and then it leads you to, wow, compared to you, God, you know, I'm in a tough spot. And then yet God provides a way for you to also experience his glory.
You know, so if someone read this, they say the fear of the Lord, that's not, you're not talking about like an anxiety thing.
Not at all.
Right.
You're not talking about something where you, I have a panic about God, you know, and that's going to endure forever. You know, I don't know if that's going to be a real helpful thing.
No, not at all.
But if we take a step back and think of the whole song, and remember, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. There's this sun like a bridegroom coming through. Like you mentioned, it goes on perpetually. And now, now we're getting into the Word of God, where that we're getting even a deeper understanding of that same glory of God, because now we start to understand his character of holiness, his character of love, his character of grace and mercy, his character of being long-suffering and slow to anger and abounding in mercy, as we learn in Exodus. And so here now we start to understand this character of God. So when you start to see the glory of the beauty of the holiness and nature and character of God, and how that goes on forever and ever and ever, and that it is pure, what the effect that's going to have is, if you are in relationship with that God, that gives you an immense amount of confidence of eternal life. If you're right with that God, that gives you an immense amount of confidence that, like, wow, everything that I knew just would never fulfill me in this world, I'm starting to see it will, if this makes sense, epifill me, overfill me, you know, if you will, in what God will do to my heart. It'll so be so much grander than anything this world might have to offer. And, you know, because we pray for so many people looking for other things that they're hoping are going to give them some sense of glory, some sense of value, some sense of worth and purpose and meaning. Mm-hmm. And the where you'll find the greatest value, purpose, worth, and sense of meaning, and find out who you really are and what you're really meant to be. And some people are trying to be somewhat something they're not meant to be.
Yeah.
You know? And in Christ, you get to actually find out who you really are as the Word of God starts to change your life. And you be made and you become more and more like Christ himself. Where are we at?
Past
10. Oh, I love this. So when we start to just see this the glory of the Word of God and the judgments of God and how everything is so beautiful in the Word of God, and how we can get to know God, how we can get to understand Jesus Christ, how we can understand his heart towards humanity. What should our attitude be towards the Word of God? Verse 10?
Yeah, good point. More desirable than gold, yes, more than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of honeycomb. Or today's vernacular would be sweeter also than polar cave ice cream.
You know that.
Oh, you're bringing up a sore subject, yeah. Right?
Maybe a sweet one.
No, that's a good
one. It's a good subject.
The parallel to this verse is also Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet your words taste to me, they are sweeter than honey. Just a little cross back to Psalm 119.
Oh, yeah.
If you're listening, we are just about 6 minutes out before we're going to be done tonight. And obviously, I don't think we're going to make it all the way through Psalm 19 this morning or this evening. We might. We do have a prayer request. Please pray for Michelle, who is recovering from surgery and fighting cancer. Would anyone who prayed last?
Sure, I'll pray.
Thanks, Forrest.
It's important to know, Lord, that you're going to care for Michelle because we intercede for her now on behalf of her body and even her soul, Lord. We pray for her. We pray that you would heal her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. And God, you would relieve any pain that would remain there even through this process. And she looks to you, to your heavens, as was describing here, to where her help should come from. So please, God, with mercy, have mercy on her. Heal her now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that prayer request. And anyone else, if you have one, please, you can give us a call at 508-901-9673. You can call in or you can text that number. It's 508-901-9673. We still have a few more minutes before we'll be done tonight. And, wow, so, you know, the Word of God, because of the treasure of God that can be found in it by the Spirit of God, is to be desired more than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter than honey than the honeycomb. I get, if, when I see that, I was like, oh, I want my spirit to have a sweet tooth for the Word of God, you know? You know?
Yeah. Too often it desires other things, but as you yield yourself to the Spirit of God, your appetite changes remarkably. Those things that you once desired, you're transformed. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I like a sweet tooth for the things.
Lord, yeah, amen to that. And what's cool is when one of the things that happens is as we start to partake of the Word of God consistently and develop an appetite for the Word of God, what happens is a beautiful thing is a relationship starts to develop with God. And it says in verse 11, moreover, by them, your servant, you know, he's Lord. We are servant. Your servant is warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. There's as you, I love this because I need someone to keep me on my rails.
I do, yeah. Someone to remind me of where I'm at.
And when we stay on our rails, we're staying where we were designed and created to be, where we start to function the way God designed us to function. We experience what we call peace, but peace is the concept of shalom, where everything in heart, mind, soul, and body is functioning the way it was supposed to function, the way God designed it. And we get to, and that's experiencing eternal life. And we get to experience that now as we walk with the Lord. And it's you know, wow. I'm so thankful for a warning system, you will, you know.
Right.
But it's more of a loving dad who's willing to warn us when things are off.
And also warning in the Amplified, reminded, illuminated, and instructed. So as disciples of Jesus, we're instructed so that if we do cross the direction of the Holy Spirit, he'll remind us and warn us that, hey, we're in bad territory here.
Amen.
Which is his loving kindness, to be honest with you.
Yeah, in verse 12, it even goes on to say how, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Like we even see there that there's this aspect of, we could be doing something off rail and we don't even know it.
Well, your wife will point it out.
Yeah. and because of that, he, like the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, right? Able to divide joint and marrow, and it's to discern the hearts and thoughts of men. And it's a wonderful thing about getting in the Word is you'll be revealed about stuff about you didn't even know was a problem.
Yeah.
I had no idea, Lord. Thank you for giving me that revelation. And I just pray I have a heart of humility to repent and receive that correction to get back on rails that I didn't even know I was off of.
And to what end? It is then I will be blameless or I'll be complete. It says in verse 13, as you were discussing the, you know, keep us from presumptuous sin. Let them not rule and have control over me, that sin. And then I will be blameless because God has mercy on me and shows me the right path. And then if I'm caught off track, it further says that I will be acquitted of great transgression.
Amen. I got to finish it up here, Pastor Forrest, because we're running real short on time. just finish off with this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You can see a relationship there. And that's where we want to be. In tight with Jesus. And our brother Kyle, he's down at the beach right now. He texted this in and he's watching God's amazing sunset that brings so much glory to him. He said, would we please pray for the churches across the nation that we'd be able to get together again and worship physically in spirit and in truth. And we will do that right now. I'll do it. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this evening, this time with Pastor Forrest and Pastor Seth, and we thank you for your word. Oh, so sweet, and just so much ministry happening. I know just in my heart tonight, and Lord, I want to be a person that's in your word, and we want to be a people that get in your word together. And Lord, we just pray that you would just supernaturally put an end to this pandemic, and Lord, that you would make it possible for us to safely gather and worship together again, where we are in each other's presence and giving you glory and worshiping in song and worshiping in your word and expressing our love for you because you first loved us.
Yes,
Jesus, thank you. And it's in your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Renew FM, and we're so blessed you could join us tonight for our Thursday edition of our live broadcast with Pastor Silas Colner. We pray this time encouraged you and helped lift your eyes off the chaos of the COVID-19 crisis and unto Jesus, who remains on his throne and who also is with you right now in this very moment. Join us next time for our live broadcast. You can also call Renew FM at 888-310-PRAY.